to the waxed and to the wane. Hi guys, and welcome back to another session of A Gathering of Momentum. My name's Nate Max, or Neil Pasco, and I'm lucky enough to have Catherine Chan, who's joining us this week, which we're hopefully going to be able to do every 2 weeks, interviews of her, which are going to get right into the heart of health, healing, balancing the body. And she's a naturopath who's basically had her awakening back in 1977. So the information that's coming out now that people are talking about, she was aware of this, you know, 20, 30 years ago. So imagine waking up in a time when there's not many people back then you could speak to and communicate with about these things. Now we have the internet. It's like you can find a group of people, you can find someone else who's going through the same path that you're going through. So it's a much easier time to be awakening now. But what we have to be careful of is the information that's coming out through the internet and where it's coming from, because there's a lot of disinformation out there which is basically taking people off track, and that's usually due to corporations want to make lots of money, so they bring out a product which you think is healthy, and then it turns out years later it's not, we've been damaging our health. So she's actually got a book coming out too, which is called As I See It, and I'll put links and photos and all the rest of it so where you can find this book. Now Catherine, thank you for joining us, and thank you so much for everything you've been doing around the world for so many years now. You've really, really put the effort in.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Neil. It's a pleasure. You've knuckled me down now, finally, as I'm coming towards the end of my day-to-day career, as I'm putting aside time now to write this book, which I've, you know, talked about for many years. I have done some journals in the past, mainly for colleges and mainly for students of naturopathy or herbal medicine. But this will be the first that I'm hoping will get to the public, and it will bring some common sense, down-to-earth ideas about how some simple remedies, healing from Mother Nature, has been tried and trusted and true for so many centuries, actually, and can be reintroduced into society today. So the book will have some of that sort of information for the everyday, day-to-day running of a family, of a life.
Right, and I feel like the information that's being brought out is actually the information which has been around for thousands of years, which is almost lost, and it was covered by the American Medical Association and the pharmaceutical industry by drugs that give us disease and side effects. And now it's about relearning the old ancient knowledge, which is actually the real knowledge, not the alternate knowledge, which it's called now. So isn't that interesting how we're doing a full 180?
We are. We really are. The planet's been around a long time, and man has existed, and through trial and error of plants, he has existed because of that. The pharmaceutical companies, of course, want patented medicines so that they can understand how Mother Nature works and rob her secrets, and mostly turn them into a pharmaceutical product that is patentable, but unfortunately, as we all know today, has some severe and very serious side effects. So once again, man is turning back to nature for his answers in healing his ailments.
And nature's always shifting and changing and regenerating herself too. Like, we do all these things to nature, then it adapts and then fires back again. Like I heard the other day about there's a plant called, what is it, but it's fighting back against the Monsanto crops, and it's basically wiping them out. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. I'm not sure what the name of the plant was. I'll put it in the links at the end. But
I'd be interested to have a look at that.
Yeah. And it's like, it's destroying the GMO crops, and they spray pesticides on it, and it just keeps coming at it. And it's like nature's way of going, yeah, sweet, you do that, we'll just do what we do best, and that's rebalance and come back again.
That's very interesting. What I wanted to speak to you about today is actually about our spring.
Right.
And this is based on what I've observed and through the studies that I've done for these many years on why did every old culture in the world fast in spring? When you look at Ramadan, when you look at Passover, you look at Lent, for example, they were all occurring in spring.
Mm.
And it got me thinking, why? Because even the Chinese and the Buddhists, at spring, they all, what they call it is, we eat Buddha food. Mm. It's Buddha food, meaning we do not kill animals, we do not show a knife in the kitchen, and we eat mainly greens and vegetarian type foods in spring. Well, what I've understood because of that is that all of life actually detoxes in spring. The earth cleans. You know that at the moment the trees are house cleaning, so the air is much more filled with pollens. There is a lot of toxins that are now the carbon monoxide poisoning of our planet in spring is very, very high because all year the trees are absorbing the earth's toxins and pollutants and giving us back oxygen.
Right.
They themselves have to survive and they spin that out into the atmosphere in spring. Our livers do a natural regeneration and detoxification in spring with or without our help.
Right.
And we know now that the liver, being such a wonderful large organ, is one capable of regenerating completely in 12 months, even when it's pickled down to a fraction.
Right, yeah.
It's amazing how marvelous this organ is. Well, if you think of the liver as the pantry of the body, think of it as everything goes into the pantry that has to feed and supply nutrients for the household. That's what our liver does. But it also needs time to clean out. And so at this time of the year, you'll find that people are a little more nauseous, a little more gastro around this time. Eye problems severely at this time, particularly because of the allergies that tend to be the body detoxing plus the air being so polluted.
Right.
The eyes are highly irritated. So people are becoming more prone to what they call the hay fever time, or the, you know, the sinus time.
Right.
But it's really just the irritants of your body trying to get rid of the waste that's built up in those channels.
Exactly. So all the allergies come from toxicity within our body. If you didn't have toxins, you wouldn't have allergies. Is that what you're kind of heading towards? Yeah, right.
That's correct. Admittedly, there are allergic responses that can come because a baby in gestation was not exposed to a wide variety of nutrients.
Yep.
That is one of the traditional ways that families always introduce a poor diet to a pregnant girl and a lactating mother for that child. And that was proven as far back as the early 1800s in Italy.
Wow.
They used to force their women, lactating women, to eat such a variety of foods, whether they liked it or not, because they said that it encouraged the child to be able to absorb and eat everything in life without any responses to it, negative responses to it.
Right.
And that's very interesting because you see today in schools there's over 100 different allergies that are presented. And children are not allowed to bring anything to school that contains nuts, oils, seeds, and so on. The list goes on and on and on. Many children are anaphylactic today, and many, many are, you know, very severely allergic.
And it's interesting you say that, Catherine. Like, I have a motorhome, which I have a friend who actually services it. He has a bus company. And he said, oh, if you drive my bus for me once every now and then, if I need a hand, we'll do a contra deal. So I drive a school bus sometimes and I just talk to the teachers and talk to the kids, and it's so much fun, you know. Like, and I always ask them, I go, what's in the canteen? You know, I go talk to the people in the canteen. I ask the kids what they're eating, and it's blowing my mind what these children are eating. Like, there's actually no real food in their lunch boxes at all. They're guzzling down the fluoride tap water for a start. The canteens, processed packaged foods with flour, gluten, the yeast, all these terrible products that are in there, and cheese. And like, I'm like, these kids are not going to be able to sit in a classroom for a long period of time when they've got no nutrients going in. They've probably been nutrient deficient since they were born, because their parents probably nutrient deficient. And then it's like, welcome to Earth, we'll stab you with a vaccine, which is basically, let's be honest, chemically induced brain damage.
Yeah.
And so they're starting off with a family and a mum and a dad who wouldn't have known. Most people don't understand health like you do, Catherine. And then the child's born lacking a little bit, and then they might not be on the breast milk, so they're on this formula, which is, you know, we know what's in the formula. Then you go on through school, then you go through high school. So when do we start eating real food? I don't think I started eating real food till I was like 25 years old. So it shows how resilient the human body is, that we can turn it all around in 3 years and get these toxins out and get back to how we were when we came in, hopefully.
Exactly. The what you say, in 3 years you were able to turn it around. A lot of that does have to do with genetics.
Right.
Because your parents lived in a time where there weren't the sprays, they weren't the chemical pollutants in the environment, our water was much cleaner.
Right.
Hence, through you, even if you ate poorly, your DNA was stronger. Your constitution was quite strong from your genetic background. Right. However, the children born today, and I see this when I look at the iris, because the genetic structure of the eye is changing. We're getting the very open weave eye, they call Hessian or net type irises.
Right.
And these people are really very, very, very deficient. They're what you call the hypochondriac children of today. Right. Because they cannot hold their nutrients. They cannot hold their minerals. They need constant care and attention and nutritionally building up.
Right.
In order to be able to sustain concentration, to sustain some kind of mental assurity that they're going to be able to study and concentrate through primary and high school. And many children fail because they just are so exhausted mentally and physically because they're not being fed.
No.
And the nutrition is so vital and so very important. But if we can get back to the liver, because what I wanted to focus on was the spring. Just understanding one aspect of a season is so important. First of all, when you look at spring in Australia, it's the opposite to Europe. So they're fasting, you know, in their spring. And that's what we need to sort of start taking on board, a little bit of fasting. Now, you don't have to stop eating entirely. What you need to do, perhaps, just to see if this benefits your health, is to say cut out meat. Perhaps just go more for seafood during this time. Cut out dairy completely if you can, and if you can't, a little bit of organic butter or a little bit of a good type of yogurt now and again. But try your best, because the dairy itself is going to induce more phlegm and more mucus, which we're trying to clean out more of during this time of year. Okay.
And mucus is obviously the root cause of all diseases in the body, because the mucus goes into all the glands, all the lymph nodes, the lungs, the bronchioles.
Everywhere in the body.
And that's Dr. Sebi protocol, which is basically removing the mucus from the body. So he was onto that, and they murdered him 3 months ago. So he was in custody, and they got him. So if people also out there listening want to follow another protocol, check out Dr. Sebi, S-E-B-I. He's an African man from Honduras, and he's cured every single disease under the face of the planet, just like Catherine here. So you're getting first-hand information from Catherine. So let's continue on.
I'm sure I can't take on quite that accolade as much as you're building me up now. The beauty of my practice is that I've always followed my heart. I followed my heart because of my own health problems, which we might get into another time. But as you mentioned right at the beginning, often it takes a severe illness or a change in one's life, a trauma, in which we then see the light, and I'll call it seeing the light, because it is an awakening like no other. We are not the people we were before this happened to us. And sometimes our illnesses become our best teachers.
Yes.
Become our greatest gifts in the end. So if I can go back to spring.
Yes.
And just say, have a look at what actually grows in spring, because nature really does give you what you need at that time of the year. And you find that it's a time where there's a lot of citrus, mandarins, oranges, lemons, limes, kumquats. They're all around at this time of year. And I know we can get them out of season as well, because they're coming in from other countries in their spring season. But this is the best time to consume those products because those citruses are basically sour foods. Sour is the flavor that the liver needs in order to clear the bile that builds up in the liver, causing sludge in the gallbladder, which leads to gallstones. Leads to nauseous effect when people have to eat a little bit of oil. They become very nauseous or very sickly when they wake up in the morning. And that in itself can just be from having too much sludge backloaded into the liver. So sour foods, by having, say, some lovely water, filtered water or spring water in the morning, with some lemon, lime or bitters with it.
Yep.
Bitters meaning a really sour grapefruit. And if you can't take the taste of sour, then add a bit of orange to that just to sweeten it up a bit until your palate can accustomize to the sour taste. Because we actually have five tastes. Did you know that? Five. We have sweet, as you most people live off. Then we have salty. We have sour, we have bitter, and we have pungent. Pungent is spice.
Okay.
Now, Westerners really only have about three flavors. Asians have five, and that is for our five major organs as well.
Right.
So sour is the one that will treat the liver, and the liver needs those sour foods alongside their meal, especially if they're going to overindulge in sweets.
Right.
That is the opposite, to stabilize and pull some of that sugar out of their blood, out of their tissue. So people who are prone to diabetes, people who are on the path to diabetes, if they want to curb some of the effect of that, the side effect of too much sugar, too much refined sugar, then they need to go to sour natural foods. There are other things that are sour. There's sorrel. Have you heard of French sorrel?
No, I haven't, no.
No, it's just a little green vegetable that you can get in Harris Farm or some of the, you know, the small greengrocers. It's a beautiful vegetable. It's slightly sour and it actually does slim the body if you have a lot of it. The French particularly eat a lot of it, hence it's called French sorrel.
Right, and the people out there should also, at all times where it's available, go for organic food in every circumstance. So if you do have it, definitely go organic, not conventional.
Yes, but definitely if they can afford it, which I feel everyone should be able to afford it because they're cutting out on all the junk and they're going to have, you know, more money for their organic food, which tastes absolutely superb, so much more flavor. But look, take care of your liver in spring. It means fasting off meat, off alcohol, and reducing caffeine dramatically, if not completely.
Yep.
And if you can do it for 40 days, you're doing brilliantly. If you can't do it for 40 days, then just do it for a week. Anything is better than nothing. Take care of the liver because, you know, the liver in Chinese medicine rules the eyes. And you think, well, how does that work? What has the liver got to do with my eyes? Well, you know that if you had jaundice or hepatitis, what would your eyes look like? They would be orange and yellow, wouldn't they?
Right.
If you'd had too much alcohol, which, of course, you know, saturates and affects the liver, what would your eyes look like? Ooh, very yellow and murky, hey?
I've seen that before.
Dazed. A bit dazed.
Yep.
Okay.
I know that one.
Well, the other thing is that diabetes are eye problems, don't they? That's one of the conditions, the side effects of diabetes.
Right.
And you wonder, well, why do diabetics, which affects the pancreas, why are their eyes affected so badly? And it's because they cannot process beta-carotene from their vegetables. So The pancreas, which shuts down working because they're now taking insulin or drugs, the pancreas then has no ability to make beta-carotene,
right,
which then goes to the liver in order to help the eyesight. So a few wonderful ophthalmologists who I've come across in my career actually do prescribe fish oil to those patients, with remarkable improvement in their eyesight.
And with that fish oil, you've got to be very, very careful of what fish oil you buy, because 98% of the fish oils out there are rancid and they're from poor sources. So we can probably put links in there later of a couple of good ones, because a lot of the fish oils, you take that, you're doing a disservice to your body.
Yes, exactly. And if you don't have a diabetic tendency, it's better actually not to take any fish oil at all in spring, because remember, it's the oil that has the sludge thickening up. So that's why we come off the meat, we come off the oil, we come off the fat, just as we would do in Lent, whereas the Muslims, they just go all day without eating and then they gorge at night. Unfortunately, that puts a load on their body. However, they do, the traditional Muslims were eating a little more carefully. They were not actually eating a lot of meat during that period of time.
Catherine, one more thing. Okay, so this is, we're going to look after the liver and obviously the sour fruits are the things we're going to be heading towards. But what would be the next step if someone wanted to specifically detox the liver? Is there a protocol that they could do to do a liver flush, which specifically targets the liver?
Most definitely. One, they can make vegetable juices, fresh organic vegetable juices. And truly, if you can't get organic, the fact that people have come from no background in this, just to have more vegetables than what they're used to having and fruits, is still going to be better than not.
And set your intention.
And the intention is there.
Exactly. So for people out there who don't realise this, you can put your hands around your food, close your eyes, okay, and envision what's not meant to be in there, leaving that fruit, and that is what's going on. Because what we think about, we are creating. This is the reality of this world. If you haven't caught on to that yet, maybe you need to read some Eckhart Tolle books. And start researching, because we're talking quantum physics and quantum mechanics here. So put your hands around your food, put your intention to it, say to the food that I want you to nourish me and it's going to protect my vessel and increase my vitality, not the opposite. So don't beat yourself up over it if you didn't eat organic. Eat food until you can get the organic, and then when you get the organic, you're already there.
And that's what praying over food was all about. You see, in the early days, people prayed over their food. It's the same intention of belief and the power of love and the power of your belief system. Now, there are some wonderful herbs for detoxification. I'm sure, Neil, you know them off by heart by now, but some of them that they may be able to purchase through a herbalist or naturopath or even through you is this wonderful detox formula containing St. Mary's thistle, dandelion, clevias, horsetail. These are just a few of the common ones. There are many more wonderful herbs that are not commonly available except through practitioners.
Beautiful.
But these can be made up and are usually made up. I know that most herbalists do. Some of them is that these herbs are tried and true. People themselves can go online and read up on the ones that I've just mentioned. There are some other wonderful ones that really do help when there's a real overload on the liver, and that's golden seal. So I want your listeners to go online, just look them up, look up the active, look up the, you know, the long history that these herbs have in society, and they're absolutely marvelous. The wonderful thing about golden seal is it's a natural antibiotic. People don't think that there are natural antibiotics, but in Mother Nature there are many, and that's just one of them. So if people are prone to infections in the liver from whatever disease they may have, I would ask, though, that they consult either myself or you or a qualified herbalist if they can take it in the long term, because there are times when you cannot take golden seal.
Right.
Especially if you have a liver condition. So please don't start going out and buying things, but get a little bit of advice first. Exactly. However, most of the other herbs are very safe. Herbs like sheep sorrel, nettles, powdiarco, red clover. There are so many, and they all do wonderful job on your liver to detoxify your liver and help your system, help your bowels. Often when I make my formulas, I always include some slightly purging. You don't have to purge though from the bowel, but slightly loosening herbs,
which is good
for detoxification, which only cleans everything out.
House cleaning. It's all about house cleaning.
That's exactly what it is.
Okay, beautiful, Catherine. And well, so people basically can contact us or they can contact you because you make an amazing herbal mixture. And I just want to put it out there to people that I haven't been sick not once in the last 13 years. And before that, when I used to party, which I definitely did, I was still on the herbs back then and I never got sick. And my friends are always sick, run down. And I've not had a single cold, a flu, a cough or anything since I started seeing Catherine. So that's the proof right there. The proof is in the pudding. My family was getting sick and they were getting sick, but now they've jumped on board with Catherine's protocol and some of my stuff as well. They're more healthier than they've ever been. So this is proof. This is me, an Australian here in Sydney, telling you what's going on in my life with Catherine, who's also up at the Central Coast there, a local person.
Neil, the liver is actually one of the most crucial to all of your organism, of your health, because if you think of your body as a complete unit, the liver is the organ that has to store all the nutrients, all the chemicals needed for your eyes, brain, heart, lungs, kidneys. So storage is all kept like a pantry in the liver. Now, how do you damage the liver? You know that alcohol first and foremost, and drugs.
Right.
Drugs play terrible havoc on the liver. They destroy liver tissue, particularly when people consume alcohol or drugs before the age of 21. You generally find they're much more susceptible to liver tumours.
Right.
At a much earlier age, and transferred to their children, the offspring, through the pregnancy.
Right. And to people who drink a lot of alcohol, you can find generally that they become quite fiery and quite snappy, and that links back to the liver too, doesn't it? Where the Chinese
liver fire. People
are the fire.
Yes.
And that was an inflamed liver. So that's why you see people out and they're drinking and they get really aggressive. I mean, alcohol does that to some people anyway. But you find that generally day to day they're quite snappy, and that's liver related, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is. And it is drugs, alcohol, fatty food, not enough consumption of water,
right,
or green vegetables. All of these things do cause the liver to expand. They draws heat. And when the liver is hot, yes, emotionally the people become quite fiery, quite inflamed, quite angry, short fuses. And the other thing is they lose their enthusiasm for life. I'm not sure if I mentioned earlier the importance of the libido.
Right.
The libido, you know, with enthusiasm is so important. When the liver is calm, the liver's nurtured, it's amazing how different people feel. You can see the glow and the clear eyes that they portray. Yeah.
Right. Okay. That, with that liver you're saying there also, I think people think that maybe that they're running out of serotonin and dopamine and things like that, but it could be something as simple as you need to just detox that liver, get that liver healthy and give it some good food and clear it out so it can actually do its job properly. And I know you've suggested me before, and I've done it, the clonic irrigations. And I know that I've been doing everything I can do to be healthy. But then when I had those clonic irrigations, that shifted me so far and so fast. And my frame of mind for months was much more calm, much more zen. I felt really peaceful. And that was purely because the colon was blocked. If the colon's blocked, all the other organs are blocked, and nothing can filter itself until we release one.
Exactly. When you start clearing the liver overall, you'll find that the rest of the body will want to be discharged of waste too, because remember, it's been storing for a long time. It's now starting to dump when you detoxify. And where is it going to dump to? Primarily the bowel.
Yep.
And secondly, the lymph. We mustn't forget the lymph system, which is your immune cells.
Right.
So in order to get the whole body working in a totality, you do need to be aware of how important it is to detox the liver and how to do it. And when you mentioned the enemas, coffee enemas or colonic irrigation is just superb for the detoxifying the liver. If one doesn't have the opportunity to settle to a 3 months or a 6 week program, then maybe once or twice a week they can do their own enema. Right. They can do some coffee enemas or they can do some water enemas. There is a wonderful website called homeenemakits.com or gersontherapies.com. And through the Max Gerson Therapies from Mexico, you'll find there are so many wonderful ways that one can detoxify. We mustn't forget to mention that on an ongoing basis, fruits cleanse the liver, but vegetables assist in rebuilding the liver.
Right.
And it is one of the fastest regenerating organs in our body. I think in 12 months, from a tiny little pickled liver, you can grow a brand new liver. And people don't realize that. They think, oh, it's too late. You know, I've been on the grog, I've been on the drugs for a long time, my liver's starved.
Yep.
And they tend to give up. Don't ever give up. The liver is phenomenal at how it can regenerate. Now, when you mentioned the amino acids and various other aspects of serotonin or melatonin or the amino acids that are needed as the building blocks of our health, they are all meant to be produced in your gut. It's your small intestine.
Wow.
It actually has the chemistry combined with everything else that passes through your mouth between that and your anal passage is your chemistry. And that is what makes everything apart from vitamin C today.
That's really interesting because we're always told that there's a chemical imbalance in the brain, there's all these things going on with the head, but the brain's the operations in our stomach, isn't it? I mean, most of the stuff happens in the gut, and if your gut's not healthy, nothing else functions.
Exactly. The gut is the most important element, and when you know, just off-tracking that, when I'm looking at iridology and you're going into the eyes here, the very core of the eye is the gut.
Right.
And it is our core because without that, you know, we have to feed every cell in our body, every organ, every single muscle, tendon, tissue. And believe me, there's so much in there. You could continually drag it around a football field many hundreds of times
right.
and still not complete a human in the amount of sinew.
And then we have all the microbes, all the little gut flora, because we're basically just bacteria. The human body is just little pieces of bacteria, basically. So if we're not giving them the right information, that's the microcosm that's playing out, as above, so below. So what's happening inside our guts happening on us, and what's happening on the earth, we're like little microbes on the mother earth too. So it's then you go to the planetary level.
We must coexist in the exact balance. And when you take a drug, you don't realize how you throw that balance out. You think, oh, I'm just taking it for my spleen, or I'm just taking it for my lungs. But every part of you is affected by that. Every part of you. So all your organs are getting that drug. All your organs are getting, you know, those chemicals. All the organs are affected by alcohol or tobacco and so on. However, the target organs are very specific.
Okay.
Alcohol, unlike a narcotic like kava, for example, is what sedates a person. If you find the difference between islanders who consume too much kava, which is a narcotic, it actually calms them down. They're less likely to fire off, as you mentioned, become irritable and so on by the effects like alcohol.
Yep.
But in comparison, they lose their ability to activate their motor skill.
Right.
Because it affects the central motor nerves. So after years of watching islanders consume high amounts of kava, they look like they've had a stroke. If you look at the eyes, they've got these very white rings called mineral rings in the top of the iris itself, very thick. And then you find that they're dragging their arm or their leg, or they've lost sensation in their fingers. And, you know, you would assume these people have had strokes. When I was working in Tonga many years ago on several occasions, of course, I was exposed to the amount of kava consumption in these people. And the effects, they say, well, it's a lot better than alcohol, because they are just more relaxed and all they do is have a, you know, a very good sleep at the end of their session. If it were to compare that with alcohol, I think I'd prefer the kava.
Yeah.
However, we get back to the liver. We mustn't get too sidetracked. Very easy to do.
Yeah, that's cool.
So a few herbs that people could include in their diet just at this time of year, because spring is the time you must regenerate the liver.
Yep.
So everything that's green, whether it's green in a juice, whether it's, globe artichoke cooked on the stove or taken in a capsule or a tablet or a liquid herbal extract.
Yep.
Dandelions. Clevias. I don't know if I've mentioned these to you before, did I?
No, I'll keep going. It's fun.
Okay, so things like St. Mary's thistle. You've probably heard of some of these.
I've heard of them, but I didn't know like the properties, you know, like I haven't. Yeah, I definitely want to get into the herbs a lot more, because it's they're coming quite profoundly at me lately, like how important they are. Because I've always just had you. I'm like, Kathy, make me up some herbs.
Yes, I've got to do that, actually. Oh, my God.
And we were speaking last week too, Catherine, before we got cut off, and that plant that was attacking the GMO crops was called amaranth.
Oh, amaranth?
Yeah. Apparently it's been doing its nature's fight back against these GMO crops, which is good to see nature just fighting back and bouncing back against.
Yes, it is.
Not meant to be there.
And amaranth is a wonderful bread that you can purchase in the health food shops.
Okay.
What
else could people do? Okay, I know I've heard that you can do for liver, you can have a cup of lemon juice each day as a more vicious kind of detox, a lot stronger one if you've really hammered it. And after 1 year, they say if you do, I think it was Don Tolman said, between 1 year and 18 months, if you do one cup of lemon juice a day, you can regenerate the liver back, you know, with a few other bits and pieces. But what else could they do for liver detoxing? These herbs they could get. But I know there's one, say, where you can have the olive oil at night time and you lay on a certain side. And what's a more intense detox?
They're more looking for, that's not actually to detoxify the liver as much as the gallbladder.
Gallstones, right, yeah.
The gallstones, because that's going to dissolve the stones. Half a cup actually of olive oil and half a cup of lemon juice taken on an empty stomach is brilliant to dissolve stones.
Okay.
So you have calculus in either the gallbladder or the liver, this will help to dissolve it and pass it. Normally I've held with people, I think the most stones I've ever got out in one sitting was about 18.
Wow.
And the other thing they can do is add a grapefruit juice. It would need to be the white grapefruit, not the ruby.
Yep.
Yes, you need it slightly more acidic. So the half a lime or a lemon with half a cup of and it's half a cup of each, by the way, the grapefruit and the lime or lemon.
Yep.
And you take that of an evening with one tablespoon of Epsom salts.
Right, I'm writing this down.
Okay, all right.
One tablespoon.
I have got that typed up, Neil. Would you like me to send it to you?
Yeah, and I can put that up on this video too, so people can do that at home. I find that most people in the Western world who are only coming into this type of living, what they want is instant gratification. So they're looking for a tablet that you have something and then half an hour later you feel a side effect and you know it's working, where we know that if you just let the body regenerate within 5 to 14 days, it'll naturally heal itself anyway. But what we do here is we're like, oh, I'm feeling sick, I've got a sore thumb, I might go to the doctors and just get an antibiotic for that. But did that even help you, or was your body just naturally getting better in a few days' time if you let it rebalance and re-heal?
Yes, but that takes education, Neil. Right. People are not geared to think that way because they're taught that the first sign of something going wrong, they've got to pop a pill for it. Yeah. They're not to investigate where it might have come from, what it could be, how to change something about their life or what they eat. 30 years ago, if you spoke to a doctor and said, you know, you've got arthritis, could eating celery help me? He would have said, and as he said, food has nothing to do with your health. I never forgot this chap who said to me when I was as a young in my 20s, I was diagnosed with juvenile rheumatoid arthritis.
Right.
But they got that wrong because for 2 years while I was treated for that, I then developed the symptoms which they then diagnosed me with multiple sclerosis.
Right.
When I was 24. So, you know, they and I always remember the doctor saying, it has nothing to do with food. This is what has happened to you. We don't know how it come, but there is no cure. You're progressive. You'll be in a wheelchair. And I was in a wheelchair for a period of months.
Wow.
But I was determined in those days, even though I was taking massive amounts of the drugs, which yep. I now have paid for,
yeah.
You know, to turn my life around. But and it's often people don't listen until they're faced with some trauma in their own life.
Yes.
They either reach a point where their mind is going that they don't want to be here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They're so frustrated with life that they think there's got to be a better way.
Yeah.
And if they make that moment, if they have that, what do you say, that flash moment?
That awakening
that
moment.
That is what generally starts them on a new path.
Mm.
And like you, it took, you know, a lot of change in you to turn around to recognize really what's happening in the world.
Yeah.
And on a global scale and on a global
I remember sitting there with you, Catherine, and like it was like 6 years ago whenever, and I was so tired and so run down, and you're like, what are you doing for a job? And I'm like, truck driving. And you just start laughing and you're like, oh, you're so far away from doing what you're supposed to be doing. And I recall myself in my head going, what the fuck am I supposed to be doing? Like, that's where I was, you know. And like, I can't believe that where I am now, there I was 6 years ago. But like, obviously the health is always been the thing for me that's been the awakening. So I watch people around me with brain tumors and scenarios come to you where the doctors have said, oh, you're going to have to be on this heavy duty medication. You're not going to have a sex drive. It's going to unbalance your hormones. You're going to be sick and tired and depressed for the rest of your life. And then they said, there's no chance in hell that anyone can fix this. 3 months later, my mate's brain tumor is swollen. It's a little pea. It's not even on the x-rays anymore. And the doctors are like, oh, it's just an anomaly. Sometimes it happens. And then the next person, just an anomaly. The next person, just an anomaly. It's like, right, something's going on here. I'm going to start linking these dots in. And that was like the awakening for me. Because when your friends are crying to you, like they don't want to die, and they're literally in tears when you're driving down to your workshop, you know, that's when your life is at risk. People really focus on what's important in life. Is social media and going out and picking up women and going to the gym, is that important? Or is my inner health and helping other people who have got health issues and that's the real stuff, you know, the real important things in life is helping others and getting them on track so then they can help more people. It's a perpetual little cycle.
Yes, exactly. That is truly what it's about. It's bringing man back in touch with man, with himself or herself, finding the spirit within, and then everything falls into place because you find that you'll be good to yourself, you'll be loving to yourself.
Mm.
And when you start loving yourself, you then, when you're loved by others, they're just bonuses. They're bonuses. But love is truly what it's about.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that you are not taught that by eating good food, it's like loving yourself and loving nature because you are appreciating what nature's giving you. And it's all there. It's a matter of, oh, what's cheap, what's on special, stick it in your body, spend a fortune on cosmetic surgery to try and look better.
Yeah, better cut that tumor out.
That's right. When all that food could have been doing it for you, you know. By the way, that's your morning chlorophyll, lemon, mint, all from the garden.
Beautiful. And I feel like for gardening, because we're started a sustainable community up north, and we're basically grabbing people to move in and live here. And I feel that gardening is the key now that's linking everyone together, because everyone wants to exit this food paradigm. Everyone wants to just pull their, go out in the backyard. They want to pull their own greens and veggies out, put it on their plate and eat it. They want to plant it with love. And I really feel like the gardening and the planting and the growing is this nurturing.
It's all part of the whole.
Yeah, and that's what's happening to me at the moment.
It is happening, and it is happening too in the schools, thank God. And not just the Steiner or Montessori schools, but a lot of schools now, and a lot in the country here too. They have animal husbandry for children. They have crop growing, crop understanding and diversity. They're the Gosford Council, the Wyong Council, they advertise constantly, avoid pesticides, avoid spraying, use natural, you know, come along to free talks on natural permaculture, you know, for your garden or your land. I'm so happy to hear that, because honestly, the consciousness is there. Perhaps it's because the signals that something is seriously wrong are going out there as well. And sensitive individuals pick up on that sensitivity to help Mother Nature in turn, because the pollution is so horrible. It's so severe that, like our humans, there are, what, 70% of humans now suffering from cancer? 70%?
Yep.
It's a huge, phenomenal amount of illness. And then think of 70%, they all require services. They require, you know, if it's for breast cancer, they require augmentation. They require then materials that will then cover these scars. They require ongoing services for maintenance for that. So do you understand, it is such a trillion, there's not an amount that you can name that the pharmaceutical company makes and then expands on by making services that support these industries. Ill health is one of the biggest industries next to petrochemical, because they're all made from petrochemical. So people are caught by the short and curly by having everything at their fingertips to be able to drive their car, to be able to pump their fuel, you know, to you know, light their home, to turn on a stove. We came through that thinking this is absolutely brilliant, and it was for us. It's like miracles because we didn't have to turn on, you know, go and light the fire and collect the wood and so on and so on. But there was a huge price to pay for that.
And we can actually remove all these products, and we can use hemp byproducts. Plus, there's actually hundreds, we're talking hundreds and hundreds of free energy patents sitting in the US Patents Office right now. So what these people have done, they've created a free energy device. The government or these big corporations come in and go, look, we'll give you $1 billion, or we'll come and we'll kill you and kill your family. What do you want to do? So bit by bit over time, all these free devices which we could be using, because let's be honest, oil is such an old primitive form of energy. It's destroying the planet. It's pulling the blood out of Mother Earth, and we don't need it. We have plasma generators. We have all types of stuff out there which people are building at home now. And it's basically to the point where we are at critical mass, where these things are going to come out and they're not going to be able to stop it, and they're going to head into hemp. So this is also a big fear campaign, because if you are sick and dying, you're going to spend every last cent from your super on getting healthy, because you've been told that you're not going to last 5 years. So you're going to spend $250,000. So all these poor old people who have worked their whole life, they end up spending $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 on the medical help, which is not actually really helping them anyway. When they spent $20,000 3 years ago on healthy food and products and herbs, and they wouldn't be in the situation now.
That's right. And the money that they've saved for their old age could actually be used for a wonderful life at the end of their life.
Yes.
Instead of, you know, going from one doctor to another, one treatment to another.
Yep.
Now, you know, there's that wonderful, I think I recommended to you ages ago, called the DVD on YouTube called The Third Revolution.
Okay, the third
Please
revolution.
Watch that again.
Right.
Because what we're talking about now Science, yes, is aware of it. Of course they know that there's renewable in every aspect, but who is doing anything about it? So we need the scientists to get out there as well, and they're trying. At least we found that fossil fuels are now contaminating our planet.
Yes.
So now heartfelt, wonderful humans have discovered, okay, this is actually toxic. We went the wrong way. Mm. But we want this sort of quick, you know, energy. We want lights that we can just switch on. Okay, let's look for a better alternative. And they have. Mm. And now through solar and wind and generators on trees, they can put these amazing, you know, they look like little leaves turning on trees on every child's playground. They actually can collect the energy that goes around on a merry-go-round.
Exactly.
You know, it's just phenomenal how we now discover, okay, we needed a lot of fuel to power this. We can now do it so simply. We didn't realize, but we're realizing more and more, and the world being so networked connected,
yes,
is now being able to pick up on all these resources and run with them. And I know the future is going to be fantastic if we come together and keep our consciousness together about this. Mm. It starts with us caring about ourselves, and particularly our liver for spring that we've been talking about.
Yes, yes.
We're going to regenerate it for the whole year.
Exactly right.
And then every season I'll give you a talk about the next season and what organs you need to take care of.
Right.
But remember that it's not to say you're more passive when your liver is less stressed, but you actually are a lot clearer in your thinking and your outlook.
Right.
When your liver is calm, you can make better decisions.
Mm.
And you can rationalize better when the mind is clear. Mm. As you know, alcohol sends the mind into a bizarre mode, and children and adults behave. I mean, yes, it has
noise.
The benefit of relaxing. We've all got a few stories.
Oh, goodness.
Oh. I just want parents to realize, please don't let their children drink under the age of 21. Their bodies are still developing. You wouldn't do it to a small child, and yet that 21-year-old is just finishing their childhood.
Mm.
It is not 18, it is 21. And then, you know, if they're preemie babies, give them a couple more years over that, because then that will sustain them much better for the rest of their life, and to live into, longevity, to live into old age.
Mm, mm.
They're with everything intact.
And also they with will, alcohol, like you can actually ferment your own alcohol. You just need a culture starter and some organic fruit. And if you are going to drink, like if you're going to have like a glass or something, don't buy the ones that are mainstream. Like BB and all these beers, man, they've got the worst of everything in it. They've got the GMO grain, the preservatives, the wheat, the starch, everything that's possibly bad for your body is in alcohol, high amounts of sugar, terribly fluoridated water. And this is done purposely. This is done to shut the masses off and to keep people in a state of subservience and just following the orders. They drink on the weekend, their body is so toxic for the next 3 or 4 days that their brain's not functioning. Then they start to feel good again. The endorphins start firing. And then they want the alcohol again because they don't want to lose that feeling. But this cycle weekly, yearly, for 10 years. It's a hard one to break, and you need a support group around you or something to go on to.
All the time. That support group is really important. Yeah. But we were talking about the liver and detoxification. When you are treating the liver, going back to the liver, always remember greens of any sort, greens, whether raw, cooked, made into a soup, any which way. Herbs, go to your herbalist or go down to your health food shop and ask them to give you something for the liver. It's very readily available all over the world now to get something off the shelf. Please, you know, if you're not going to do very much, then do a little. Always respect your liver, and it will give you a longer life in the end, and a more calm outlook and clearer eyes. As you know, with jaundice or hepatitis, cirrhosis of the liver, all these diseases of the liver, What happens to your eyes?
They go like yellow.
Yeah. They go very yellow, they go very bright orange and yellow, or they go very murky, or they go very, very, very stained with melanin. Mm. And this is because it gets to a point where the hormones themselves are being flushed out of the liver, and it will show as pigmentation in the eyes and on the skin as extra spot brown spots. So all these things you can clear with lemon. By the way, you were mentioning earlier, we mustn't go off track with that.
Yep.
When I did about half a cup of grapefruit juice mixed with half a cup of olive oil, you take that at 6 o'clock at night with a tablespoon of Epsom salts.
Yep.
You then lie down on your right side.
Right side.
For half an hour. Now, if you have a lot of pressure and swelling on the liver, you have an extended and a large enlarged liver, you can use a hot water bottle, but under that, massage with castor oil.
Okay.
Put castor oil pack on your liver,
yep.
Then a hot water bottle, and lie down on the right side. It is amazing how you can purge bile stones or calculus from the gallbladder, and they will clunk in the toilet. Ding. And you can fish them out of your stool if you want to go that
far. Wow, I mean, that's just to see them is amazing. And actually the feeling knowing that it's coming out, there's a detox mentally knowing that you've gotten something foreign out of your body too. So that's a great thing mentally and physically.
That's right. Now, just to recap the end of that,
yes.
If someone has a fatty liver, and I'm talking about an extended fatty liver,
right.
I don't recommend they do that.
And how would they know? How would they know if they've got a fatty liver?
Well, they would have been diagnosed. So if they're diagnosed with a fatty liver, they've generally got a lot of bubbles at the top of their eyelid. You know where the eye, and just under the eyebrow?
Yeah.
They tend to get bubbles on the eyelid here. And in the white of the eye, which is called the sclera, the inner part closer to the nose, they get yellow fatty lumps. Okay, these are the first signs that start when the liver's becoming fatty.
Right.
Now, you don't have to even be an alcoholic or even a big drinker to have a fatty liver. It can be from a pathology, something else going wrong in the body.
Right.
It could be from drugs. It could have been from medication, even in childhood. But you can have a fatty liver. Now, if you take olive oil with citrus, either lemon, lime, or grapefruit, it is still too strong for an extended fatty liver.
Right.
However, if you do have the gallstones and you're diagnosed with gallstones, then I would recommend people to just take half a cup of lemon juice with half a cup of olive oil first thing in the morning for 5 days only.
5 days in a row.
5 days in a row, first thing in the morning on an empty stomach. Yes, it will get the bowels going as well and clean them.
Yep.
But that is enough to purge the gallbladder.
Right.
Because in that 5 days, they will remove those stones. If they then want to do an enema during those 5 days each day, they'll have the best result.
Wow, okay, beautiful.
Fantastic.
And for people out there, if you're going to use lemons, you might as well use seeded key limes, which is the original fruit. It's not a hybridized version because lemon is a hybrid fruit. Just depends how far you want to go, you know. I say to people, if you're going organic, that's good enough for now. And because people have to catch up with the information. First, we have people to go organic, which is food. Let's be honest, it should just be called food. And conventional fruit and veg should be called toxic, poisonous, rat poison. That's the way we should be naming it. It should be a big skull and crossbones at Woolworths, and it should say toxic, poisonous. This is carcinogenic, and in the next 5 to 10 years, it will give you disease problems, acidify the body, and whatever else it does in that chain reaction. So if you do want to look into hybridized foods, a good person is Dr. Sebi, S-E-B-I. He's from Honduras, and he basically has cured every single disease under the face of the under the sun. Through a chelation process and through getting people off hybrid foods and having an alkalized electric diet. So he actually got he got murdered about 4 months ago in police custody. He was coming back from Africa with a whole bunch of money from selling African herbs to these people, and he got caught on the border of Mexico, and they took him into police custody, and he died in police custody. So he's actually a good person. So now use him as a martyr, and we'll continue his work and put it out there. And he's doing very similar stuff to what Catherine's doing here, you know. He has had his own method of doing it, obviously using herbs. So herbs is the key. Herbs, food, and detoxing and chelation process, which is getting these chemicals and heavy metals out of the cells. Because when we're injected as a child, these things hang in there, and unless we physically remove them, they don't come out. They just sit in there and they just hang around, and our immune system's been compromised by what's in it.
Exactly. And that's because chemicals have a molecular structure that is very large compared to nature. Okay. So once it's ingested through the food, it is very difficult to be broken down because all of plant life, all of nature contains minuscule carbon atoms. They're very, very tiny particles of substance. So if we're looking at, say, we're getting a little bit of calcium from our celery or our apples or our parsley or, you know, or our bone meal, okay, we're getting it from nature, and it comes in a molecular structure that is so refined, so fine, not refined, so fine, the body can identify it and utilize it and use it and express what it doesn't need through the bowel by getting rid of it. So you can never overdose on those.
Right, right.
But when you take things that are man-made or fossil fuel-made, okay, you're getting a structure that has a heavier carbon atom. Mm. It is so heavy that then the body doesn't know what to do with it and tries to shove it into areas that it will do no harm.
The mucosal lining.
The mucosal lining. And that's the first place it settles. However, some of the structures are too large even for the liver because the liver doesn't deal well with inorganic compounds like drugs, as we know, has hence the amount of liver tumours.
Yes.
But the lymphatic system does. It is the job of our lymph to decode heavy metals.
Right.
So the lymph system has to go and try to find the right army to decode and break down that foreign matter.
Mm.
And in most cases, it settles in the lymph glands, slowing down the detoxification and the cleansing of our lymph system.
And that's why we need to keep the body
flowing. This leads to colds, recurring flus, recurring catching everything.
I find that people get, they have a cycle where they get a sickness the same time every year, and it's not to do with the weather. It's because there's a cellular cycle.
Memory,
yeah. And this constant thing happens over and over again, and it's like, We have to add all five parts to this health. We have to have the food. We have to have the detoxing. We have to have plenty of fresh water. But people need to also add the exercise, the chi, you know, getting the body moving, getting the yoga. Yoga is getting the lymphatic system stretching. So the body has to be stretching, flexing, and being pushed.
That's right. There's just one exercise that is so simple that anyone can do, whether you're standing or sitting, that will help the lymph system. And it's just where you breathe in, holding your hands here, and then stretching your hands as slowly as you can, as slow as you can, and as far out as you can, till you feel your scapulas coming together as if you're squeezing an orange over your spine, and holding there, and then slowly, slowly coming back in. But even just going on the extended one, you've got about 5 liters of fluid now just being moved
from
the lymph system.
Right.
And the more I do it, the better my arms will show.
Right.
But you know, whether it's up and back or down, all of this helps. And did you ever think, why were we made with our arms in the upper body, next to our heart, next to our lymph system, where the wheelie bins of the body are?
Right.
It's because the arms do everything.
Right.
And this is where your fight or flight, get up and go. Everything is working from here to then keep the whole of the metabolism running.
Right, interesting.
So the hands have to move all the time, whether you're doing, you know, dancing, rock and roll, or whether you just want to go and pick grapes off the tree or the vine or oranges off the tree, or pretend that you're doing it. You need to move your arms in order to move your lymph, in order to move your blood through your heart to filter.
Now, I'll tell people out there a great thing to do also. And were you saying breathing out and then breathing in? So it's a flow motion, then breathing out, breathing
that's
in.
Right. Okay. You breathe in very slowly, very, very. This is also a Qigong exercise for lung cancer. I used to do. So you are breathing in as you hold, then you breathe out. And when you get out there, you breathe in again. Push your tummy out as far as you can, and then breathe in again. And very, very, very slowly come back to this point. The Qigong masters can take half an hour to go from there to there and our back. When they do that at 3 o'clock, you see lung time in the Chinese clock is 3 to 4 a.m. So the Qigong masters would go out into the environment and take in and do 1 hour of this exercise in the morning. Then they would come to the class because the patients had to line up, and they would then stand in front of the teacher, and the teacher would just put his hands out like that. And all the qi that they've collected from that 1 hour will be pushed into the patient with the lung cancer. And the patients will be doing the exercise while the qi master is sending the qi.
Wow.
If someone came into the room and disturbed the concentration of the master, the patients would fall on the ground. That's how powerful the qi is. That's what I saw in China at the sanatoriums. It is very important to understand how wonderful it is to know how to breathe. And to breathe deeply pumps the lymph and helps the lymphatic system.
Breath work. So that's where I was heading. Breath work. Breath work. People should look for a guy called Wim Hof, W-I-M-H-O-F-F. Okay, he's an amazing guy who can channel his adrenaline, different parts of the body. They've put him under ice and done all these ultra extraordinary human things. But this is basically what he's doing, is breathing in the pranic breath. So the pranic breath is basically similar to qi anyhow. So you can draw it in through breathing, the breath work, loading up on oxygen, connecting to earth, connecting to the stars. We can tap into that energy any time, day or night. This is the funny thing. There is no ill health effects with meditation, only positive ones, and it's free. So you don't have to go anywhere. You can meditate anywhere, and you can breathe in this prana. You can activate and upgrade your body. You can turn on bits of DNA that weren't working, activate parts of the brain that weren't working. Then you add the breath work, then you add the Qigong, then the yoga, then nature, then detoxing, then the food. This is the 10-step process. We need to do all of these with the exercise and balance. So just doing one thing, that's great, but you've got another 9 things that you need to balance out within your life. And that's the great process. It's a great juggling act of trying to balance work, relationships, love, time, and all these things in between. So
exactly. That's what makes life the most wonderful journey of discovery. And we're all about living, loving, and learning. And with that, I must go.
Yeah, I was going to say thank you so much, Catherine. So we definitely touched on some really good points there with the grapefruit, the olive oil, and a tablespoon of Epsom salt. So people out there, I'll chuck up the information on how to do it at the end of this. And
I'll send it to you. I'll post it to you. I've got it typed up.
Great.
And I'll send it with your detox, which this time I won't forget. Sorry.
All right, Catherine. Thank you so much. And we'll do
see you in a fortnight. Okay.
Bye.
Take care. Have a great day.